You're listening to the Fox in a Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Savannah.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling a little verklempt. Our family attempted a bat mitzvah yesterday, and we got to see the whole thing. I've been to a bat mitzvah before, but Remy takes these bar mitzvah classes with her age group because her bat mitzvah is coming up in October. And it just made me a little verklempt seeing just how beautifully she's grown and kind of things to look forward to, things that will be coming into our lives soon. And it was just, I don't know, it was touching. And I just find myself reflecting on how fast everything has gone, witnessing where Remy will be come October through the eyes of another child, through the Hebrew studies of another child, just witnessing it and thinking about my daughter taking that milestone. And so I'm feeling a little verklempt when it comes to her growth and development. It's all come so fast. And she hit a milestone this week. I finally let her walk into town from school with all her friends.
Oh, all right.
And yeah, that was a big deal for me. It doesn't seem like it when you're hearing it, but I know there are listeners that can relate to those big moments where you let go of the reins a little bit and give your child a little bit more independence. It's not always easy for me. She's my only child and I love her. So.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, times are changing. You can't stop time and progress, but to be able to witness it and sit in that space and reflect on where she was and where she is and where she's going,
yeah,
it's pretty epic.
Yeah. And just being able to hear what she's saying rather than bestow my own knowledge and opinions is also, it's really interesting, especially when it comes to topics such as pronouns and why that's important. And she had a whole different take on it than I do it at this age. And she's at her age in terms of pronouns. And it was really hard to just hear what she's saying and hear that if you're asking a bunch of middle schoolers or even elementary students what their pronouns are, they're going to come up with silly things. They're going to say my pronouns are hamburger or my pronouns is this and that. And it's going to be an entirely different experience than this protective layer and this sensitive topic that I've housed for many individuals I know and care about. So yeah, this morning we definitely had an interesting discussion on pronouns and why it's important to have them, and her take was different than mine, and it should be. She's a different age. She's having an entirely different experience. I'm coming at the pronoun thing later in life. This is a new development, and I see it as very much an important aspect to protect and honor trans individuals.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot to it when, you know, you're asking a middle schooler to say their pronouns and or even a second or third grader.
Yeah.
So we had an interesting discussion about that. And it again opened my eyes and heart to the fact her opinions and her voice can influence mine and or can stand alone from mine. So, yeah.
That's deep. That's profound.
Deep, deep.
And I can relate because I definitely identify with deep fried chicken.
Yeah.
So, but I would take that as my pronoun. Ironically, that when you were telling the story of Letty and Remy venture into town with their friends from school,
yeah,
I was thinking of myself when we lived on a dead end street growing up,
mm-hmm,
and we could never pass the corner for years. We could not. We lived on this little like 12 house dead end, and we could never venture past the cross street. But to that time where my mom was like, oh, yeah, you could go beyond that. You know, I need you to go to the store and pick me up some milk. So, of course, I'm going to let you cross the street. So my ability to go beyond my borders was, yeah, because I had to run an errand. So I'd get on my 10-speed bike. Actually, I think it was a banana seat bike at the time. And go the three blocks to the next main street, the big busy, mm-hmm, street, cross that to go to the 7-Eleven so I could get a gallon of milk. Somehow figure out how to put it in my handlebars so I could still pedal and steer back.
Yeah.
And that was my first, yay, we'll give you more liberty, but here, do something for me.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's wild. It's wild when it comes to shift as a parent, shifting your idea of something that you held onto for so long. For me, it was a very hard, you will advance to the walking from school to town when you hit grade 7.
Yeah.
And it made sense to me on a level of some kids, parents will allow them to have cell phones. Some kids won't. Some kids will be that she knows. And I was very confident in the idea that she will have a whole slew of different boundaries from friends and their parents and what they've decided. But when all your friends are doing the damn thing, when every friend you've made on the bus, when every friend in your friend group is going to town, I don't want her to be that kid with the tofu when everyone has ice cream, you know, so to speak. So yeah, all that. But enough about my nostalgia and our discussion of my little girl growing up and pronouns and all that. I know that you have a topic today. We have a topic to unpack that you've been wanting to put forth for a while now. And today's the day. So
today's excited. Today's it. All right. The segue from talking about your little girl and her use of pronouns and how she sees the world different, both from you and maybe different from her friends, but wanting to be part of who her friends are.
Yeah.
Yes. This thing came out about a month ago while we were on hiatus. And I was like, it was really juicy to me. I just want to get right into it. And it's an article from CNN. And as we all know, I will put it in the show notes. This is from CNN about a month ago by Nicole Chavez, and it says, why Montana's two-spirit people are challenging a state law that defines sex as binary.
Mm.
And she starts with, as a fight to reclaim their history, some in Montana's two-spirit community are challenging a state law that defines sex as binary because it, quote, infringes on their spiritual and cultural beliefs. The law, Senate Bill 458, defines male and female based on the presence of XY or XX chromosomes, as well as reproductive systems. The legislation, which took effect in October, inserts those definitions of male and female in several parts of the state's legal code, impacting driver's licenses, demographic records, and the state's anti-discrimination law. I did go into Senate Bill 458 as well, and I did look at it. It's very much what they're saying here. The bill states, we consider male to be this. You have reproductive organs in this way. You have this chromosomal. Biologically, you're this. Genetically, you're this. It has nothing to do with how you identify. It avoids anything that's not, I don't know, I don't want to say pure science, but physically provable, let's say. So yeah, they really are hammering hard on this law to make it a very binary system in Montana. But what really got me was I never had thought about it. Yes, we talk about it all the time, two-spirit, we talk about third genders, but I never really applied it culturally to lawmaking in America. And what I was thinking was, well, yeah, we have intersex people. That is not a cultural thing. We have intersex people who have either reproductive organs of female, but are male in every other way, or they have both reproductive organs in some measure. So how are you going to make even a binary system of law that already discriminates against intersex people, which is a physically provable biological attribute? So that was one thing. I was like, yeah, we always seem to forget about the intersex people.
Yeah.
But then to be in Montana and to have this society, this two-spirit society saying, listen, now you're culturally oppressing my belief system. Yeah, we're always talking about the freedom of religion, the pursuit of happiness. America is a place, the land and the free. Because somehow the indigenous people in Montana, who were here way before us, somehow are also being oppressed in this manner to say, yeah, we're going to build the law so it doesn't even recognize your culture in your belief system of a non-binary system. What are your thoughts?
It's just so messed up. I think that whenever government kind of swoops in and has any sort of opinion or any sort of hold on people's bodies, sexuality, gender expression, genders, anything, when the government has any sort of opinion on anything or the right to take away or dishonor, it just makes me feel sick to my stomach. It doesn't feel like it's their place, but at the same time, we live in a world that is governed by government, if you will. So it's also a slap in the face, and it devalues something that is so human, something that has been honored and celebrated since the start of time. it disgusts me. I'm not okay with it. It doesn't sit right with me. And it's just hard. It's hard to hear. It's hard to be left out. It's hard to put myself in the place of someone who is two-spirit and feel shut out by the government. And at the same time, like I said, hands off. There's a lot of things that I feel shouldn't be even in their hands to decide. But yeah, all of it.
Yeah, agreed. We've been making, not we, but the community has been making such strides to break the binary system. And a lot of it is just civil and law specific things where I need to identify as a very specific being, human being. And intersex, again, as we know, has been around for a long time as a medically accepted birth certificate, sex equals I. So now we're talking about like, oh, no, no, we're going to totally ignore that. So I did some research because I know we've also spoken about how two-spirit is not accepted or revered through all Indigenous peoples in the Americas. So I did look that the Lakota, the Mojave, Blackfeet, Crow, and Cheyenne were the ones specifically mentioned when I did a research on tribes who do accept and revere and see the third gender of two-spirit as part of their culture. So I definitely see why in Montana, they'd be all over this saying, you're really now, again, as a government, oppressing my people in a completely different way. You and I, we've lived and we grew up in a binary system all our lives. So it really never made much difference to me growing up because as a dual gender person who lives biologically male, I have male on all my documentation and only have just started in the last year saying non-binary in my medical history. But in reality, it's not going to affect my life, but it wholly affects people of this type, of these Native Americans, people who are intersex. So it's absurd. I can't abide by government so fearful that this has got to be the important thing they look at. Oh, no, no, we have to reinforce that there's only two people. This is a very binary system. Why does it matter? Why do we have to amend this? Why can't we just keep it? Is it really hurting our like lawyers fighting over things because it's so ambiguous? It's like, I don't know. That person says they're not binary. I don't know what the law says about that. I'm pretty sure the law says if this human being and this human being are in a contract of something, then you're dealing with the parties. What first party and second party has nothing to do with whether they're male or female, as far as I know. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think as a white culture, I think we have managed to swoop in and erase or redefine or ignore these beautiful Indigenous people since forever. We have found a way to not honor them and their beautiful culture. And I think that living in the Bay Area, there's definitely Indigenous Peoples Day held in San Francisco. There is ways to honor and celebrate, but it's definitely, it almost feels like an agenda to erase, to add these, I want to say Puritan holidays, but I don't feel as confident in myself as a historian, but it feels like anything that is slightly more colorful, anything that goes out of the template that we follow, like you said, the binary system, is something that we see. All this language is popping into my head. I want to be like, we as colonizers, but I don't stand alongside the decisions that are made. It's just kind of happening to us. And while it's happening to us, and while Thanksgiving is seen as a time where we all broke bread and it was this lovely, lovely painted picture that we may still be talking about in our public school system as if it's a time for two cultures to come together and bond and this and that, it's not that. And as we look at gender and the binary and all its different parts, when we can remind ourselves of this two-spirit, three-spirit, however many spirits are attached to a particular culture, whenever we can honor that and look at it and celebrate it and learn from it like we are today, we're getting that much closer to adding that color back and giving it its due.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that color should have never been whitewashed to begin with. Yeah, no pun intended or all pun intended. When us waspy people came over from Europe to settle and pretty much raise to the ground every piece of color that we found over either decades or centuries, that's part of the American culture. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that history has to be jammed back into the public consciousness. Because like you said, Thanksgiving, we're all like, oh, and the pilgrims and the Indians got together and they broke bread and they all brought meals and oh, it was joyous. No, no. If it happened, it was a speck in time that kind of erases all the oppression and taking Native American children and putting them into Catholic reform schools so they could learn our ways and be more like us. As if that was like, oh, that's a good thing. We should take their culture away and make them just like us so they're not scary, I guess. Because it seems like all we do in America these days is try to erase everything that we think is scary.
Yeah.
The gays. Yep. And the AIDS epidemic.
Occupy.
Yeah. And also feel safe in our own homes. Heaven forbid, you know, there's the gay couple in our neighborhood that we think is bringing down the property value. Oh my God, there's a black man in my white neighborhood. There's a trans couple. All these things that upset your quote unquote delicate equilibrium, but yet do nothing to devalue anything. And all you're doing is devaluing them. Just, it's like you said, absurd. It's scary. It hurts your heart. The one thing I want to also mention today, we're talking about this non-binary two-spirit idea, which always goes back to our gender diversity and our gender identity. And we're also talking about America and how we really seem to be way behind the curve when it comes to adopting back and recognizing the beauty and color of those cultures. And even if it's a white person, so we're whitewashing that. So we have to be as binary as possible or else we're an outcast. And I want to mention that we are not the only culture in the world. And there are plenty of cultures out there in the world who are very much non-binary. So I want to read off my little list.
I love your list.
Oh, thank you. A lot of it is Indonesia. It's Far East. They're definitely not white European Anglo-Saxon cultures. But we have the Hydras in India. We have the, again, I apologize for butchering the language, the Bugis group in Indonesia. We have the Muxes, M-U-X-E, in Mexico. The Sacrada in Madagascar. Obviously, the two-spirit communities here in the Americas, and the Bakla in the Philippines. Each of these cultures revere, celebrate, adopt, endorse, support something beyond the binary in their culture. So how is it these cultures have withstood the test of time? These are not modern era adoption. This has been around for centuries. This is not the modern era peer pressure. We got to do this. This is what's popular. This is what's cool. Everybody's doing it. No, this has been around long before we ever stepped on this planet. And if this exists in the world, why are we in Western culture, in the very WASPy Anglo-Saxon Protestant way, why are we so adverse to it? Why are we fighting it so desperately? What is it about these colorful cultures and non-binary identities that are so scary to us?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable on multiple levels. And it starts with the soil for which we stand, the indigenous soil that we colonized. It makes me feel sad. And yet it makes me feel hopeful that we can have an episode like this where we can bring all these colors up from the earth, so to speak, and unpack them and normalize it, if you will. Hopefully this episode won't be seen as an exotic episode with an exotic topic, but just how things are meant to be. Honoring someone's culture, honoring their stories, honoring their genders, and celebrating the genders, regardless of what the government is trying to do to kind of control. Because, you know, what is it? Silver Linings Playbook, with the fact that this whole discussion is coming from the fact there is this desire to ignore, to control. And so we're talking about it. And so that is something to be said, that maybe we wouldn't talk about it. Maybe we wouldn't acknowledge its existence if it wasn't trying to be erased, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sad, but yes.
Yeah. You bring up a great point, which is, would I have been drawn to this topic had it not popped up on my feed? Had I not seen like, oh yeah, if it had not set off a spark, if that spark had not set off a fire in my brain and in my heart to say, you know what, this is important, because I'm sure a lot of people are not out there researching world cultures that are non-binary. So if we could be those voices and say, hey, look, they exist out there. So if it's interesting to you, do your own research and find out more about these different cultures. Because again, we are not the only one. If you are concerned, everything is going to be super binary, because that's the way America is, have some hope renewed in yourself when you can go look at other cultures in the world and say, oh my God, they do exist. They are celebrated. You could always say, well, why is it like that here? Yes, that's just the way it is in this moment. But you can also have hope that, wow, these other things exist. And I'm part of that culture in my heart. I'm part of that belief system of something beyond the binary. And while I may not be from the Philippines, while I may not be from Mexico or India, there is this idea of, yeah, there's something more out there than just what's here in my own backyard. And I think we need to sometimes look outside of ourselves with binoculars to see something that we are akin to know that, yeah, we're going through it right now. We're going through a lot of backlash and a lot of people pushing against us because we were brought up to believe in this very binary system. But the idea that they exist way outside our borders should give you some hope.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about being very binary in your non-binariness.
Yes.
That brings up an even bigger topic about how there's so many biological male trans women who have fought to be seen as female, who have fought to be within this binary system. And I think that it's not, the topic today isn't just like us and them. Like us in the government, it's very much a trans issue as well. People who are holding on to that binary that they should have been, holding on to that idea of male or female. Why can't I be male enough? Why can't I be seen as female enough? And that's very much another gatekeeping strategy, if you will, to keep things, keep a hold on what you hold to be true. Yeah. And if you don't pass, then you failed. And if someone's served me or ma'am me, and just loosening up a little and knowing that the transgender galaxy, if you will, and honoring it means honoring a galaxy of different ways that our genders can look, a combination, a hybrid, if you will, of different ways, which is, it's not just like the white cis agenda. It's also, like I said, it's a trans concept to open up. It's a humanity concept to open up, the idea that, sure, we feel different than our biology at birth, but what does it feel like to know that both can exist, both can be true, and not just both, but and or like a third entity or a fourth entity? What does that mean? So I think that as we're examining this episode and looking at all the different parts, it's really important to honor the fact that it's not us versus them. It's a collective.
Yeah.
This being human thing is a collective, and how we show up and what we choose to honor and be seen as is a collective. It's a smorgasbord of human and spiritual experience.
Yeah, your point is amazing, that even within the binary system that everybody's so hard to get us to adhere to, the idea that, like, even when assigned male at birth or assigned female at birth, I can't even get into the binary the opposite way. I can't even get into the other column as easily as it should be. Because again, like you said, I don't pass. If I don't pass, I fail. Therefore, I have to stick with what my assignment was, because we're going to make gatekeeping even harder. Not only just to keep the binary, but we're going to make sure we keep you in the column of the binary that you were assigned when you were minutes old in this world. So,
right.
Yeah, amazing point. Thank you so much for bringing that into the mix, because that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, not so much. Again, I'm not looking to transition in any way. So I'm never going to really be all that concerned about my M on my birth certificate and my driver's license. But I definitely understand those people who have fought so hard and spent so many hundreds and thousands of dollars to get legal counsel just so they could get the other letter within the binary system, and the fights they've had to fight, depending on what state you're in. Some are easier, some are harder. So yeah, definitely thank you for bringing that up.
Of course. And we only come to the table with our limited understanding based on our own experience. So there may be a listener out there, several listeners out there, we can only hope, that this idea of two-spirit or whatever it is that kind of straddles that binary is just their normal. It's normal. So it's as much as we're offended or I'm offended, it is something that they, based on their culture, were brought up with that was just so normal and natural that, fuck the government. You know what I mean? This is a part of who I am, and I'm used to not being understood, and I'm used to having my land be compromised. I'm used to all these things. So it doesn't surprise me. It's just a part of the fabric for who I am. And then we, from our own upbringing, are offended on their behalf. So when trying to understand my placement in this episode, it's just an awareness of the kind of ways in which gender and spirit, the ways in which they have a place in our world. Mm-hmm. And it's not our job to ignore it or erase it. And I'm just trying to understand it all. That's it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And for me, from the way I'm coming at this episode, was raising awareness and letting people know, hey, there's people out there, cultures out there who completely endorse and have for centuries endorsed a non-binary system. So know that the system you happen to be living in is not the end all be all. That doesn't determine who you are as a person. Like you said, hey, I know the government is always effing with me and I'm just not surprised by it, but I know who I am.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to continue to be who I am and not be forced into the channels that they're trying to make me abide by, because I know my truth. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's very complex. If I was to compare it to something like Roe v. Wade or something that is so not the government's place to any of it, like it's so over the top.
Right.
And when I think about the different legalities or the unsafe abortions that will take place because of this stance or the need to control, it feels like an unsafe place to be. It feels like an unsafe place to be. So I think understanding is huge. I think you reading the different tribes that calling out their names as best as you could, I think is another way to honor and is a way to say, we see you and we celebrate you and we may not understand or have been a part of your ancestry, if you will, but we honor you. So,
yeah, here to here. Love it. All right. So, yeah, like you said, we're coming this from outside. I don't have deep, deep pockets and knowledge of this, but I wanted to just raise a little bit of awareness for anybody out there who's now curious to learn more, and they can take that on as a to-do. Sorry, everybody who's listening. I didn't mean to give you homework, but here you go.
I just wanted to say one more thing. I do have, because we brought it as a topic, because we went there, I do feel more confident and more knowledgeable and better, where when I started thinking about this episode before it aired and when I was hemming and hawing about what would be my contribution or, oh God, like I felt a little self-conscious about it. I felt a little too white, if you will, to honestly honor this topic in a way that is respectful and effective. And I feel like we are definitely honoring our agreement that we made at the start of the Fox and the Phoenix birthplace, and that's to go there. We promise to go there and to do the work and to get uncomfortable and to see what comes from it. So I just want to say thank you so much for encouraging this topic to be brought to the forefront. I definitely didn't know what I would have to offer it. And I'm glad that we were able to create something beautiful with a topic that I didn't feel as well versed in.
Oh.
So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you sitting in your discomfort and still showing up and then still raising some amazing points that I didn't even think about. So that's how we balance each other.
Yeah. And thank you to all the listeners who didn't just read the description or like, well, no, this doesn't apply to me or scary or whatever it is when the imagery comes out for the episode and the show notes come out. You definitely, as listeners, have a choice on whether to stick around or to pass. And thank you for all of you who stuck around because something really beautiful came from it. And I love you very much, Savannah. And I love our listeners. And we hope everyone has a great rest of their week. And we look forward to bringing you a new episode next week. Yeah. But if you can't wait for next week, and sometimes as a palate cleanser, it is advised to go back to all of our episodes. I find This week and last week, there are a few listeners that reached out. They started at the start of our beautiful podcast and they're catching up. And so they're messaging us and they're saying, I'm back at episode 56 and it's this topic, that topic. And there's a part of me that kind of wants to re-listen and live vicariously through because we've done so many episodes that I really do forget the amount of dedication and content that we put into each episode. So we are at, this is episode 168. We definitely have 168 episodes that you can definitely dip back into. So yeah, if you don't want to just count on a new one every week, it definitely is recommended to go back. Yeah, this episode was great. Tying it all in a bow. I love you.
Love you.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Until next time. This is Savannah again. I wanted to not take up the actual conversation, to just give you the terms of applicability when it came to the law that we were talking about. So that would be SB 0458 from the 68th legislature, 2023, in the state of Montana. So they want to amend a lot of existing laws through this bill, which has gone into effect. They want to define a female, and it says female means a member of the human species who, under normal development, has XX chromosomes and produces or would produce relatively large, relatively immobile gametes or eggs during her life cycle and has a reproductive endocrine system oriented around the production of those gametes. An individual who would otherwise fall within this definition, but for a biological or genetic condition, is female. Now, for male, male means a member of the human species who, under normal development, has XY chromosomes and produces or would produce small, mobile gametes or sperm during his life cycle and has a reproductive and endocrine system oriented around the production of those gametes. An individual who would otherwise fall within this definition, but for a biological or genetic condition, is male. So gnaw on that a little bit as we go forward. Pretty crazy, but that is what the Montana Senate Bill 458 was defining for their binary system. So until next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast, on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast, or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.